We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
And good Monday morning, everyone. And yes, you are correct. That's not Jenna. Nope, Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna on this Monday morning, coming out of a very busy news weekend. We had the big rally by Trump at Madison Square Garden. So we're going to be talking about a little bit about that. J.D. Vance goes head-to-head with a CNN anchor on how things should be reported. And Kamala Harris went to church. So we'll be talking about that. And then early on in the weekend, Israel responded to the earlier attack from Iran. And we'll be talking about that as well. So a busy, busy weekend. But, you know, first, it is always good to start your day going to God's Word, especially in these tumultuous times. And this morning, my personal devotions took me to Romans chapter 12. And verses that I know you're very familiar with. Apostle Paul, of course, speaking, "And I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Some interpretations, which is your reasonable service. You know, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, what does that mean? That's really talking about surrender. We need to surrender. And, you know, you could do a three-point sermon just on that first verse or so. But really, there are things we need to surrender to the Lord. And one of them is, and the Bible tells us to do this, is be anxious for nothing. And so are you saying, Fred, we shouldn't be anxious about the election? No, we shouldn't. We should do our part, get informed, find out where the candidates stand on things, and you know, make intelligent choices. Look at the last 4 years. Look at the 4 years that Trump was president. Do all of those things. But, you know, it's all in the Lord's hands. So we can be active without being anxious. I think that's what the Lord is trying to tell us here. And, of course, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world. You know, I often today think of the times when I was growing up, the influence of the world. You know, we had, and I'm indicating my age here, folks, but where I lived in Nova Scotia, Canada, we had two channels on TV. And my parents never had to worry about what was on TV, what I was watching, the influence there. Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, those kinds of shows. That kind of, you know, the family values that were in those programs reflected, you know, what was going on in our house at home, reflected more Christian values. So my mom and dad didn't have to worry. We didn't have all the social media that our young people are experiencing today. So much of it, let's face it, is garbage. But here we have in Romans 12, verse number 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." And that is somehow we have to drive that home with our young people. And how do we do that? We expose them to the truth, biblical truth at home. And, of course, being in a church, being part of young people's group, if you're a university, the, you know, the biblical student union groups, all of that sort of thing. because that is going to run counter to the main messages that are out there in this very secular, barely ungodly world. But the expectation of God is that we ought not to be conformed to this world. Again, it doesn't mean shutting yourself away from what's going on out there. Being informed doesn't mean we conform, all right? So we need to be careful about that. And how do we do that? By the renewal of our minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, and we serve a God who has not changed. So the values that are taught, you know, from the time of salvation, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. You know, I was listening to the Pope there back, well, it was several weeks ago, talked about many ways to God. Talked about Hindus and Buddhists. There's many ways to God. And he was roundly condemned for that, including from many Catholics. But that is a predominant view out there today. It's not just the Pope. It is a predominant view that if people believe in a God, they say there are many ways. And basically, their theology is based on their feelings. Well, that's not what Romans 12 says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, what do? We test what's going on out there, what's being said, and then taking Scripture so that we can discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So there you have it, Romans 12, verses that I know most of you are very familiar with, but it's always good to go back and reflect on these verses given where we are today. And wow, we are in the midst of, I was going to say the midst of, not really. We're down to the last 8 days, folks, before Election Day. Now, they tell us, the pollsters tell us, well, most people have made up their minds by now, but you know, what are they basing those decisions on? And as many people have said, we're not electing a pastor or a priest. We are electing a politician. And I know there are concerns about that have been expressed. I was listening to one of our news stories in one of our newscasts this morning, Dr. Al Mohler, seminary president, Southern Baptist Seminary president, saying, you know, he wishes that the Republican Party would be more direct in its views on abortion, for example. But he also said there is such a vast, vast, vast difference between the two parties, between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris right now, that you should not be confused about where they want to take the country. We have 4 years of what we saw under Donald Trump from 16 to 20, and from 2020 to now, we now know where Biden and Harris stand on the issues. And so it's very distinct. And one of those things is abortion, folks. There's no question. I mentioned, you know, Al Mohler and others saying that they wish the Republican Party and Trump were more, a little bit more distinct on abortion. Trump has pretty well left that in the wake of Roe v. Wade decision from the Supreme Court to the states, and some have been critical of that. But we certainly know where Kamala Harris stands on the issue of abortion, no question about it. She became the first vice president in United States history to actually go to an abortion clinic and celebrate what they do there. So, I mean, that is one distinction right there. But to the news of the day, you're probably, if you've been up for a couple of hours now, you probably have seen on newscasts all about the big Trump rally last night at Madison Square Garden, about 20,000 filled to capacity. You know, a lot of talk about, wow, going to New York, Democrat-controlled New York. But you know what? The place was packed. I'm told it was sold out, or the tickets were at least gone within 3 hours. And apparently there were people outside just wanted to get in also. But I wanted to give you a little taste of what it sounded from former President Trump last night at the big rally at Madison Square Gardens in New York City, cut number one.
But I'm thrilled to be back in the city I love, and thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots, you're with me. We're all together. We've always been together. And I'd like to begin by asking a very simple question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? This election is a choice between whether we will have 4 more years of gross incompetence and failure, or whether we will begin the 4 greatest years in the history of our country. This will be America's new golden age. It's going to happen quickly, too, very quickly. Every problem facing us can be solved, but now the fate of our nation is in your hands. Next Tuesday, you have to stand up and you have to tell Kamala Harris that you've done a terrible job, that crooked Joe Biden has done a terrible job. You've destroyed our country. We're not going to take it anymore. Kamala, you're fired. Get out. Get out. You're fired.
Well, you kind of knew that was coming, that line, you're fired. And the crowd, of course, loved it there. But, you know, I was reading some of the other media coverage of this. And this is from the Associated Press. This is how they covered the event at Madison Square Gardens. The rally in Democrat-controlled New York included a long list of conservative political celebrities, including Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, et cetera, et cetera. But the AP, Donald Trump hosted a rally featuring crude and racist insults at New York's Madison Square Garden Sunday. Now, that was their lead to all of this. Now, what were they referring to? Especially to referring to a comedian who had some not nice things to say about Puerto Rico. Now, the Trump camp has been very quick to condemn that, doesn't reflect the party. Carolyn Leavitt is one of the press people with the Trump campaign, and she said, you know, it's just simply unacceptable, that kind of language at a Trump rally. Cut number two.
Look, it was a comedian who made a joke in poor taste. Obviously, that joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or our campaign. And I think it is sad that the media will pick up on one joke that was made by a comedian rather than the truths that were shared by the phenomenal list of speakers that we had. We had congressmen and women. We had Senator J.D. Vance. We had Dana White, friends of the president. Dan Scavino, my colleague and friend, who shared very intimate moments with President Trump when they were in the hospital in Butler, Pennsylvania, really showing the truth about President Trump and his heart of gold. And the crowd, they didn't mind, right? Again, it was a diverse group of people. The joke fell flat, but the crowd was there because they know who President Trump is, and they know he wants to be a president for all Americans.
Well, with respect to Carolyn Leavitt, I wouldn't expect any better from the mainstream media than what they did in their coverage. In fact, just watching here in our studio a few moments ago, CNN did the same thing, focused on the what this one comedian, not very well known, I don't even remember his name, but they like to focus on that. Why do they do that? They hate Donald Trump. I mean, that's the bottom line in all of this. They hate Donald Trump. And as many people have said, most in the media now have become activists for the Democratic Party. So in some ways, it's frustrating as conservatives when we read the focus of the mainstream media on events like this. They find a way to condemn Donald Trump. And by the way, the flip side is true on the other side. Kamala Harris, in the media's eyes, can do absolutely no wrong. And that's the way it's been. You know, the American people, though, they've gotten on to this, honestly. Polls have shown, Pew Research has done polls through the years, and, you know, 90% of reporters, national reporters, they say they vote Democrat. That's the bottom line. So we ought not to be surprised. Here's what's shocking for my years, and I've been around this now over 40 years, journalism. They take no pride in their work anymore as far as presenting stories from a neutral point of view. I mean, we saw the debates, the ABC debate, CBS debate, how they treated the Republican on the stage versus the Democrat. That's just the way it is today, folks. And that's why the mainstream media is no longer trusted. Plain and simple. It's one of the reasons why Brother Don started the news service here at American Family Radio. All right. Kamala Harris goes to church. We're going to be talking about that when we come back on the other side. And J.D. Vance, well, he sets the record straight with CNN. We'll be back right after the break.
God raises up leaders who follow his direction and serve him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise his standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie. Culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And indeed, we are back. We're going through some of the big events on the weekend, the Trump rally at Madison Square Gardens, and Todd's piece that you just heard kind of in the run-up to all of this. And indeed, that's the way the mainstream media was painting it. Far as I know, there were no Nazis or fascists there. Although, you know, what's amazing to me is that the other side, Kamala Harris, talks about bringing the country together. Yet under the Hillary Clinton rule book, you know, everybody who follows Donald Trump is a basket of deplorables. And she, again, Hillary Clinton, as Todd Starnes was mentioning there, talking about the rally that the, you know, Nazis, 1939 was a rally there. Well, since then, you know what? Democrats have met at the Madison Square Garden also. So, you know, it's just the hatred spewing forth from the Democrats. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that they still talk about joy. Well, Vice President Harris, still out there campaigning, was in Philadelphia yesterday. And made a few stops there, including one at a church. And this was a little bit of her speech from the pulpit there at the church. Got number five.
Here in Pennsylvania right now, each of us has an opportunity to make a difference. Because in this moment, we do face a real question. What kind of country do we want to live in? That's before us right now. What kind of country do we want for our children and our grandchildren? A country of chaos, fate, fear, and hate, or a country of freedom, justice, and compassion. And the great thing about living in a democracy is we, the people, have the choice to answer that question.
What kind of country do we want? Well, unfortunately for Vice President Harris, we have 4 years of the kind of country that she believes in. And I laughed when she talked about, do we want a country of chaos? Kamala Harris, have you been observing what's going on under the control of you and Joe Biden over the last 4 years? At least 20 million people invading our country? And you created the chaos. Remember when Joe Biden was running for president? At one of those debates, he promised that he would invite a surge at the southern border, which is exactly what they did. They did away with all of Donald Trump's restrictions that he had put in place and brought some control to our southern border, and they threw all of those out and invited a surge. Come one, come all. And look what that has created. The crime, murders, young women murdered, raped by people who have entered this country illegally. The chaos in places in Colorado, San Antonio by Venezuelan gangs breaking into apartment buildings. Here was it, Martha Raddatz. She was interviewing J.D. Vance here about a week ago. Martha Raddatz says it's only a few apartments that they're raiding, only a few. And J.D. Vance said, are you listening to yourself, Martha? If it was apartments in Martha Raddatz's neighborhood, do you think she'd be saying it's only a few apartments? Who cares? You've seen the videos, I'm sure. But now there have been at least, what, five incidents in San Antonio, Texas? Same kind of thing? So the American people are seeing this, and they kind of laugh, too, when Kamala Harris says, you know, we don't want a country of chaos. Well, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, they've created that with just their border policy. What have they done to bring this country together? This country is badly divided. And that's after 4 years of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And don't forget, in a recent interview, Kamala Harris was asked, is there really any difference between you and Joe Biden? And she came right back and she said, I can't think of any. So what does that tell you? That tells you that if Kamala Harris becomes the next president of the United States, you're going to have more of the same and perhaps even worse. So, you know, that's the thing. You have the record of Donald Trump for 4 years from 16 to 20. But we also now have the record of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And Kamala Harris saying there's no difference between me and Joe Biden. So there you have it. Look at Donald Trump's 4 years. Look at Kamala Harris for 4 years. Make your choice based on experience, not on feelings and not on words. Now, it was kind of interesting. I want to go back to Kamala Harris at this church gathering. It was a black congregation at the Church of Christian Compassion, where she said the United States is determined to turn the page on hatred and division. And then some media are noting that at one point in her speech at the church, she started to have a very different accent. And some people are saying she was trying to sound like Martin Luther King. Cut number 11.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The path may seem hard, the work may seem heavy, but joy cometh in the morning, and church morning is on its way.
Morning spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G? I don't know. You know, why do they do it? Just step back. I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. Why would they do that kind of thing? Because, you know, some honest media, at least, were going to pick up on what Harris was doing there. And I think it just turns a lot of people off. It's interesting. Apparently, Harris drew on the story of the Apostle Paul, who overcame difficulties to spread the word of Jesus. This is from Kamala Harris. In hard times, when we grow weary in doing good, we must remember the power that works within us. The divine power that transformed Paul's life guided him through shipwreck and sustained him through trials. You know, I wonder if someone would, if they had the opportunity to ask Kamala Harris, what do you think God thinks of abortion? Kamala Harris, what do you think God thinks of abortion, taking a human, the life of a human being? Kamala Harris, the Bible says this about sexual deviance. Where are you on the homosexual issue, the transgender issue? Remember what Kamala Harris has said on those fronts. And, you know, it's a little disturbing when she gets, first of all, that she's allowed in a pulpit. But then, what she has to say from that pulpit, given what she has said and what she has done over the last 4 years. Again, we have enough evidence now, both sides, Republican and Democrat, to make intelligent decisions if you're willing to educate yourself on what's going on out there. All right, I was talking about the media and the bias in the media. Well, during the weekend, J.D. Vance, Donald Trump's running mate, sat down with Jake Tapper of CNN. And they had a very, very pointed exchange. Cut number three.
We've now spent 5 minutes talking about people in Donald Trump's staff
who think he's not fit for office.
He fired.
Well, we're actually
we talk about how Americans can't afford groceries.
We're actually
Did we talk about the fact that Americans can't afford the cost of housing? Ask yourself a basic question about network integrity. You guys talked about the Russia hoax nonstop.
The FBI was investigating
You took the words of unnamed FBI agents and put them on your network as if they were the gospel truth. You did it again and again. Because you guys seem to care more about Donald Trump's past than the future of the American people.
Yeah. So, you know, J.D. Vance, I tell you what, more than I think any recent Republican candidate is smart, and he is willing to call. As I said, he took on Martha Raddatz there a few weeks ago, and now yesterday, I believe it was Saturday or yesterday, taking on Jake Tapper at CNN. And, you know, it's, of course, Tapper wanted to get into the whole accusation, you know, Donald Trump's a fascist, et cetera, what has been said about him. Well, the thing is, of course, those accusations have been denounced by other people who worked for Donald Trump and said that these former generals basically didn't like Donald Trump, tried to control him, and he fired them. And we're talking, you know, Kelly, Milley, others like that who have turned against Donald Trump with these accusations. And by the way, once again, you go back to 4 years of Donald Trump. Did you really see any of that then? And why is it just a few days before the election all of these accusations are coming forward? Of course, the reference to all of this comes from the Atlantic article back about 10 days ago. Mr. Goldberg, the editor there, bringing these out. And, of course, what was it, 4 unnamed sources that the Atlantic used? Unnamed sources? Just cheap journalism. Once again, Carolyn Leavitt, who's with the press corps with the Trump campaign, had this to say about J.D. Vance taking on Jake Tapper. Cut number 4.
It was brutal. I mean, it was another takedown by Senator Vance. He is the best surrogate we have on behalf of President Trump. He's so good. But you know why he's good? Because he speaks the truth. And it's easy to do that when you have truth on your side. And Jake Tapper and CNN pushed lies about President Trump. They have for the past nearly 10 years now. They were the lead propagandists of the Russia hoax, never walked that reporting back. There are still journalists out there who have Pulitzer Prizes for reporting on fake intel and fake stories about President Trump. And look, the American people are realizing you can't buy the lies of the mainstream media. That's why today in 2024, President Trump is more popular than he has ever been since 2016.
You know, I talked a while ago about the danger of social media outlets today. We have so many different sources. And there's certainly a bad side to that, as I was talking about a few moments ago. But the good side of all of that, there are options today that you have where you can get the truth. As I say, the so-called legacy media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, all of those, they're all in for the Democrats. They're all in for Kamala Harris. And when the history books are written about this election campaign, if they're honest, they will say that the mainstream media, after that debate with Donald Trump, Biden and Donald Trump, back in June, that the mainstream media, the only reason they turned against Joe Biden at that point, they wanted him out. And they were all in favor of the editorials that came out that Biden has to go, et cetera, et cetera. Did they do it because they were being honest and decided to do some honest? No. They wanted Biden out because they wanted the Democrats to win. And that's why when Kamala Harris was announced as the replacement for Joe Biden, it was suddenly a celebration once again, that she was a breath of fresh air. So that's the way the media operates, folks. All right, still concerns out there about election integrity. And to that point, We have seen in the last couple of weeks an effort by the Biden Justice Department to allow non-citizens to vote. So what are you talking about, Fred? Well, very interesting. A Biden-appointed judge in Virginia, based on a petition from the Biden Justice Department, Attorney General Merrick Garland, they're upset that Virginia, going through their voter list, found 1,600 individuals. Many of them self-confessed. They said, we're not citizens. It is a federal crime for a non-citizen to vote in a federal election. So Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, and his people wanted those people off the list. Now, they fought the Justice Department, but a judge appointed by Joe Biden said, no, those people, some of them self-confessed non-citizens, must be put back on the rolls. Now, this has been a rule in Virginia for years. In fact, it was brought in when there was a Democrat governor. But all of a sudden, when the rules are applied by a Republican governor, the Biden Justice Department, with the help of a Biden-appointed judge, says, no, you have to put those 1,600 back on the voter list. Well, Governor Youngkin responded to the court ruling. Cut number six.
This is a stunning ruling by a federal judge who is ordering Virginia to reinstate individuals who have self-identified as non-citizens back on the voter rolls. And what's even more astounding is the vast majority of these folks had presented immigration documents confirming that they were non-citizens, and we recently had that verified by federal authorities. So here we are with a judge saying, put people back on the voter rolls who you know are non-citizens. And this is under a law in Virginia that's been in effect since 2006. It has been applied by Republican and Democrat governors alike into this 90-day period. And here we are 11 days before a presidential election and a federal judge is ordering them back on the voter rolls. It's astounding to me that this could possibly happen. I mean, listen, common sense says non-citizens aren't on the voter rolls, but the Constitution and the law say it as well. And that's why we are immediately petitioning the Fourth Circuit for an emergency stay here on this injunction. And we will immediately go to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary.
All right. One good thing that has come out of 2020, more and more states are more vigilant about examining their voter rolls. And thank the Lord for that. By the way, in Virginia, those who may be taken off the voter roll have a right to petition to be put back on if they prove they are citizens. All right. You're listening to Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in, much more ahead. Chris Woodward will be joining me right after the break.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation itself? Much like the abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescue, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And indeed, we are back. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna this morning on a busy, busy time, 8 days away from Election Day. and talking just before the break about this situation in Virginia. A Biden-appointed judge saying the state must put 1,600 people, non-citizens, back on the voter rolls unless they can prove they're citizens. So they have to go back on the voter roll right now. As Governor Glenn Youngkin said, some of these are self-confessed non-citizens. Nevertheless, the Biden Justice Department, working with his Biden-appointed judge, says those 1,600 had to be put back on the roll. Governor Youngkin says he's appealing. And I was talking about, we learned a lot from 2020, that some shenanigans certainly went on in 2020 to the extent it affected the overall election results. We may never be able to prove that. However, I think it has caused various states to be far more vigilant. Some interesting headlines just in the last week or so. Pennsylvania County says election workers flagged 2,500 possibly fraudulent voter registration. Iowa finds dozens of cases of non-citizens voting. So if you're one of those that's skeptical about those who are concerned about the integrity of voter rolls, folks, there you have it. Some of these are even Associated Press stories that are out there. So that is why people who are running elections in various states must do it out of their heart or be forced to be very vigilant about going through these voter rolls. And in some cases, you know, like Glenn Youngkin was saying in Virginia, people were honest. They say, I'm not a citizen. But the judge says, you know, you have to be back on the voter roll. And so we'll see how that appeals goes to the, I think Youngkin said the Fourth Circuit. And I think Youngkin went on to say, too, that he's willing to go all the way to the Supreme Court on this as well. So vigilance, vigilance, vigilance. All right. Just changing directions here for a few moments. We're bringing in our reporter from American Family News, Chris Woodward. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. I do want to confirm that I am a citizen and I do vote.
All right. We'll take your word for it, Chris.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Well, Chris, I want to talk about some of the amendments that people will be voting on. But first, along with other things, you cover legal cases for us. And there was a absolutely huge case coming out of San Francisco late last week, and it had to do with people who resisted taking the shot. And they worked for the transit system in San Francisco, and they refused to take the shot based on religious reasons. But now they have won, in liberal San Francisco, no less, a huge court victory. Tell us about it.
Yes, this was, as their attorney Brad Dacus at Pacific Justice Institute referred to, as a legal earthquake. Unfortunately, it got covered by a lot of the other stuff going on in the news cycle, from hurricane response to political stuff. But last week, as Fred mentioned there, you had former employees of the transit system known as BART. It stands for Bay Area Rapid Something Transit and goes by BART. And these employees wanted a religious accommodation not to get the COVID-19 shot, which is something many governments and employers were forcing on their workers many years ago. These employees wanted a religious accommodation. They were fired, and they lured up with Brad Dacus there at Pacific Justice Institute, or PJI. And last week, these six workers were awarded nearly $8 million in damages over this whole situation here. And as Brad Dacus is telling us today in a story on AFN, which you can read on AFN.net, they are planning on using this situation, this settlement, for the other cases that PJI is involved with when it comes to the COVID-19 shots.
Chris, it's absolutely amazing to me. You know, Kamala Harris talks about a new day for America and joy. But it was the Biden administration, when they came into office, they went after military people to force them to take the shot. Thousands of military people were punished for refusing to do that. Healthcare workers across the country were punished for refusing to take the shot based on religious reasons. Some of them were based on, hey, it's an experimental drug you're trying to put in my arm. I don't want anything to do with that. But we're slowly seeing some justice here because courts, juries are beginning to realize that, number one, as in the San Francisco case, they had a right to object to this, and as we're seeing in other cases as well. So it's good, I think, great that we're covering these cases. Chris, I understand each of these BART workers, they got $1 million. Is that correct?
Yes.
$1 million. That's not a bad settlement.
No, it is not, especially when you live in a high-priced place like San Francisco, where it costs an arm and a leg to live.
Yeah, so folks, if you're one of those that were affected by these edicts that came down from the government trying to force you to take this shot against your will for whatever reason, religious reasons, concerns about the impact it might have, there is hope out there, because other court mm-hmm. cases have gone in favor of those who resisted taking the shot. So, Chris, I wanted to talk to you a bit. Along with the ticket items are going to be amendments in various states. And I guess the ones that, particularly the ones that we have been focusing on, have to do with abortion.
Yes. Yes. This is all the more reason why Debbie Westnow and the other folks there at iVoter Guide will tell you every election year it's important to vote down ballot. Because once you get past the presidential candidates, the House races, and whether or not you may have some Senate races or state elections, you're going to be voting on a lot of things. And I say that because in about 10 states, there are things called the Right to Abortion Initiative. These are states including Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New York and South Dakota have something very similar, but it does involve abortion. Nonetheless, there are so-called right to abortion initiatives to which pro-aborts are seeking to make abortion a constitutional right. And some people might hear this and think, well, wait a minute, I thought this was the way we were supposed to go. The Supreme Court overturned Roe and handed the issue back to the states. That is true. But the concern here from Right to Life groups in all these states I just mentioned is that it not only makes abortion a constitutional right in these states, but it also makes it to where legislatures can't make any changes. So, yes, you might live in a red state or a purple state where there are a lot of pro-life people, or at least moderates on the issue, but even those legislators would have an uphill climb, and that's being kind, to try to change anything if these states move in this direction. The one the liberals really, I think, would love to get their hands on would be Florida, because Ron DeSantis is very pro-life. He signed their heartbeat bill into law not too long ago, and this would do away with that in a DeSantis administration.
Yeah, so, and I think that's one thing that people have to be very careful of, because I know you've been doing stories on this, and some pro-life groups have put out kind of alerts on this, that the language in some of these amendments can be very deceptive. So you have to know how to read these carefully. You mentioned it's Amendment 4 in Florida. If you're pro-life, correct me if I'm wrong, you should be voting no on that one.
That is correct. Yes, Florida Family Voice, formerly known as Florida Family Policy Council, has had a bus campaign. I think it's still going up and down Florida, going to churches and small towns, what have you, trying to get people on board with this. And they are all, quote, voting or tell people to vote no. Jenna Ellis would have told you the same thing if the two of us were talking about this right now on the show.
Yeah, very important, folks, to get yourself educated on this. I think you said, what, 10 states have these amendments that affect pro-life, that affect the life of the unborn. Now, Chris,
yes.
there's a few of these abortion amendments that are against abortion, or are they all for abortion?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a few states that are voting on, like, when to regulate abortion. South Dakota would be one of those.
Okay.
And here's where it gets really confusing. So there is a right to abortion initiative vote in Nebraska this coming a week from tomorrow. There's also a pro-life version of this. We actually had somebody on from a Nebraska pro-life group in a story last week. She was also on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. So anyone with more information about that case and which one they're supposed to vote yes on or no on, go to AFN.net and do a search for the word Nebraska. It should appear.
All right. So, folks, be very careful. Get yourself educated on these amendments, what is being said. There are some that are very clear, like Florida Amendment 4, where if you're pro-life, you need to vote No. All right. There are a couple of other amendments on other subjects, one of them being school choice in Kentucky, Chris.
Yes. School choice is an issue that's become a big area of concern the last few years because people and organizations don't want the school you're required to attend based on your zip code to be the only choice that you have. And so school choice advocates have been working in various states to try to get people an option to where you and your tax dollars could go to a school of your choice. And the idea there is to help your family have an education alternative. Maybe you can't do homeschooling, but there is a better school, let's say one zip code over, that you would like you and your children to be a part of. And so with things like these school choice amendments, you would have that option. This one won't be the last time that we talk about it because, like I said, school choice has been a big issue in various states for a long time. But that is definitely one to watch because public school advocates, many of them are largely opposed to things like school choice. They see it as a threat or it's going to take away public funding, which is not entirely true. So therefore, that's why this is one to watch in, on top of those right to abortion initiatives.
Yeah, and the Democrat governor there in Kentucky, Andy Beshear, he is totally against the idea of school choice. Rand Paul, the Republican senator from that state, is all in on the school choice side.
Yes.
And what's really interesting, Chris, is that many times what is driving school choice is what kids are not learning. We're seeing more and more and more states where math scores, reading scores are far below standard. And that's one of the things that's driving the push for school choice, is so parents have an option. They have an option that they can, you know, what they take their taxpayer money and it goes towards a school that is going to help their kids. And that's why it's hard to understand sometimes why, in this case, in Kentucky, a Democrat governor would be against doing something that might help kids better themselves.
Yeah, and it's important to point out as well that the governor you've mentioned there, he was just reelected, so.
Yeah,
he's going to have no political repercussions against this. It's also important to point out that a lot of people seem to be of the opinion that we just need to pump more money into education. But the U.S. itself has pumped a ton of money into education and has been doing so for decades, and the outcomes are not improving, even though the amount of money we are putting towards that has been increasing for decades now.
Well, Chris, the bottom line in all of this is that people need to be aware of these down-ballot amendments. They are important issues like abortion, like school choice. They need to be educated. The voter needs to be educated on this and participate in this because it's extremely important for the health, the political health, and also the health of a state and the blessing, God's blessing on states. I know a lot of money is being pumped into the pro-abortion side, but, you know, people have to understand where God is on these issues as well.
Yes. You know, it would be good if organizations, churches touched on the life issue far more than they do. And I know that's something we often talk about on American Family Radio, but it's true. Like, we should not just wait for, you know, Sanctity of Life Sunday in January or something to kind of have sermons on this. I'm not saying every church message needs to be vote for life, but if people were educated more on this and they actually found out where God is on the life issue, I think it would make a better difference, and these things would not be so tight of a race going into an election.
Well, I'll tell you what, the issue of churches getting involved in educating their congregations about these important election issues, I know Tony Perkins on Washington Watch brings this up fairly often. It's brought up on our programs here. You know, the church, I believe, has an obligation. It's not about endorsing a candidate, but it is about educating their congregation on the important issues that this election, because I do believe it is a pivotal point in the history of this country, this election, because the two parties are extremely distinct and where they stand on these very key issues. Chris, I know I appreciate you coming on with us, and I know we'll continue to cover this, and you'll be on our election night special, bringing our audience up to date with our newscasts.
If the Lord tarries, I'll be there.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris Woodward. And thank you very much, folks. It's been good to be with you this morning. We will continue to cover the key issues. And yes, we'll be here on election night to give you all the results. I want to thank Adam and Devin for helping me out this morning. I give them heart attacks sometimes, I think, keeping them busy. More great programming here at American Family Radio all day long. We'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.